And so, my friends, you have your Bibles. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. And I was just really blessed by the scriptures, but just real burdened just with a lot of the prayer needs. The last few weeks seems like, you know, and you know, we've been praying for this dear sister April in Eau Claire. She was very blessed to attend her daughter's wedding. That was a big desire. The doctor said it's kind of, she may or may not make it. And so just keep praying for God's grace for her. She's got, the kids are teenagers, you know, teenagers on up. And so, you know, just keep praying for the family during this time. Then I was also just really, really grieved about hearing about Brother Tim Carpenter's brother, Tom, committing suicide. I don't know Brother Tim Carpenter super well, but we see each other quite often at different preacher meetings. You know, in fact, he was even at the Creation Museum where we ran into it. Hey, you know, you're here to, yeah, we are too, you know. And so, you know, we always kind of hit it off. And so it's a dear brother in Christ, good man of God, but his brother Tom had committed suicide. And so that's just such a dark time. And so I thank the Lord for his precious, precious word. And so tonight's message, finding God in the darkness, finding God in the darkness. Exodus chapter 20. Of course, this is the giving of the law. And what does this have to do with finding God in the darkness? Well, Moses, of course, was the man of God who knew God, spoke with God and to God. Israel, of course, off in the distance, and they're just terrified from all the sights and sounds that they were, you know, beholding. But let's go to verse 21. It's a very particular, very amazing verse, Exodus chapter 20. And in verse 21, finding God in the darkness. And the Word of God says this, "And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was." Just a reminder that everyone, you know, all of us, we go through dark times at different points in our lives. Perhaps some of us are in the darkest of times even now. Most of us, we don't like dark times. Some of us are outright afraid of the darkness. But one of the most comforting truths for a Christian, and may we never forget this, my friends, is that God is in the darkness with us. He is always there in the darkest times. We can't see him, but that's the whole idea. We don't live by sight, but we can certainly hear his voice. So let's bow our heads for opening prayer. Abba, Father, I thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and goodness and the promises to us, Lord, and your presence that not even an angel, but you, your presence, Father, as a loving Father, through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, through the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, what a comfort to know that you are there in the darkness of times, in the thick darkness in our lives, that you are there in the darkness, that we don't have to be afraid, but we certainly can't live by sight, we have to live by faith. And so, Father, we thank you for your promise. And even now, Father, comfort the families that are grieving. And Father, our hearts go out to them. Thank you, Father, for your precious, precious word, and may it strengthen us now during, you know, during this time. And Father, we ask again, as Holy Spirit of God, anoint these lips of clay, that I would speak what you have me to say, Father, that what a promise that all of us can find you in the darkness. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just point number one, just real simple, amen. Always remember, always tell yourself, no matter how you feel, how you might think, no matter what people say, no matter how hopeless it might be, number one, God is in the darkness. Notice what it says in verse 21. And the people stood afar off. They were just so terrified. They were just beside themselves. They couldn't comprehend it. They couldn't take it all in. It was too terrible, would be a fantastic way to describe the whole scene when Moses got the law. Terrible in its awe. It was awesome. Okay, it's awful, meaning it's full of awe. But it's terrible in the sense that it's just overwhelming the senses. And the Israelites, they could not wrap their mind around what was happening. Now again, this is after they've been delivered from Egypt, okay? And Moses goes up the mountain, Mount Sinai. And they're just so overwhelmed with all the brimstone, all the smoke, all the lightning, all the thunders. And they just, can't take it. And so they basically just backed off. But it says, and the people stood afar off, and Moses, the man of God, Moses, the shepherd of Israel, drew near onto the thick darkness. And boy, that's something that's very counterintuitive to me, okay? classic, situation. You can imagine just thick darkness. I mean, I'm not going to go. But Moses did. Why? Where God was. God was right there. God is in the darkness. Even though we can't see him, even though the darkness can be very, very thick, okay, the worst of times, okay, sometimes it's kind of just dark, but not that dark, okay, but things can be very, very dark in our lives sometimes, the worst of times, where we might even think suicide ourselves, and we just want to end it, just complete just discouragement, complete just, I'm just done, I'm just in so much despair, I'm just in too much pain, whatever the case may be. And by the way, just to dispel the misnomer, okay, sometimes we might think God casts us away from him into the darkness to teach us a lesson. That's not true. The truth is God does, yes, he does correct us. He does rebuke us and he does chastise us by bringing hardships in our life. And you can liken that to darkness. Yes, God does do that. He does bring the darkness. In fact, in this case, God caused the darkness. Same thing. But God is there with us in the darkest of times. He didn't just cast us out to learn our lesson and then come crawling back to him when we figured it out. No, that's not what happened. When we are in the darkest of times, he is right there. Okay, so make sure we understand this. Ingrate it out in our mind. Write it, chisel it to our brains, just like the law written by the finger of God in the stone. Okay, so it doesn't get covered. It doesn't get blotted out. It's right there. But remember, my friends, God is in the darkness. No matter what we might feel, no matter how we might think or what social media says, no matter what other people say, God is there with us in the darkness. Number two, the only way, now that we're in the darkness, right? The only way we can find God in the darkness, imagine yourself in a dark room, okay? The only way we can find God in the darkness is by listening to his voice, right? We're in a dark room. Just imagine being in a dark room. This is myself. If I'm in a dark room, instinctively, I try to find a light switch, okay? If I can't find a light switch, I try to maybe open the window, make sure I get some moonlight coming in. Or at the very least, I don't move, because there's too many Legos on the floor, right? Until my eyes adjust to the darkness. You know, so wait a little while. Eventually, I make up some silhouettes, and kind of go from there, okay? One thing, though, all these methods, using a light switch, using a flashlight, whatever the case, moonlight, waiting for your eyes to adjust, all these methods of adapting to darkness, these are just ways for me to still rely on my sight. These are ways for me to still rely on my eyes and on my vision and on my sight. Sometimes it might work. When it's not too dark, it could work. But what type of darkness is Moses going into here? Look at verse 21 again. Moses drew near unto the what darkness? The thick darkness. In other words, absolute darkness. Pitch black. Pitch black. Not even a grain, not even a mote of light. This is absolute darkness. Darkness so thick, just like the plagues of Egypt, you can feel it, right? This is complete darkness. And one day, here's the warning to myself, warning to my children, my family, ourselves as Christians. One day, we might be in such thick darkness in our lives that if in previous times we've navigated the most dark, not complete darkness, but maybe we've had some dark situations before, not completely dark, but if all we're used to doing is navigating still by moonlight, by letting our eyes adjust to the dark, by having a flashlight or something, if all I'm used to navigating in darkness in previous times is still relying on my sight, I'm going to be in big trouble when I enter the thick darkness. You know what I'm saying? Because at that point, it's too late, and I'm going to fall, I'm going to stumble, I'm going to be offended. Offended meaning fall out of the way. Because at some point in my life, and some point in your life, we might be in overwhelming thick darkness. You can imagine the worst tragedy ever, the death of a loved one, the loss of a loved one, or maybe some betrayal, or maybe you find out your spouse had an affair, okay, or you lose everything in a fire. I mean, whatever, you get fired from work. I guess in context, that's not so bad, okay. But just something just horribly, or a loved one gets sick and dying. I mean, whatever the case is, at some point there might be some circumstance that is so dark and so thick that the only way we can get through it is by faith, not by sight. I might kind of cut corners when there were other times that were less dark, kind of making my way with sight. But there might come a time in my life, and there will come a time in our lives, where we will be in such a thick, dark situation that the only way to get through is to have faith. Because sight will not work. It's not going to work anymore. However, point number three, the only way we can listen to God's voice when we're in this dark room, right? You know, we can't see anything. So we've got to switch to our ears. The only way we can hear God's voice is if we know God, if we know Him, if we know Him. Remember what John chapter 10 tells us? John 10, two verses there. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And then later in verse 27, same chapter, John 10, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. So when I'm in the thick darkness of my life, and I can't see anything, and I can't even live by sight, even if I wanted to, okay? Because everything you see looks horrible. You can't live by sight. If you can hear His voice calling your name, it's okay. Come here. You just imagine, you know, and you can kind of make your way over to your Lord, and He's right there. He's right there in the darkness. But my friends, if all we have, if we're not used to listening to His voice because we're not close with the Lord, imagine not having your ears, okay? And if you don't have your... it sounds weird when I plug my ears. If you don't have your ears, and we're just not... and we live not listening to God's voice, we live by sight, one day we end up in the thick darkness. Now we got no vision. This is how I get by sight. Now I don't have sight, and I've never really listened to my shepherd's voice. I'm going to be in big, big trouble, and that's when I fall apart. That's when my family, if they're counting on me, they fall apart. Things come unravel. It is so important that we listen to God's voice before the darkness, before it's too late to try to listen when we're in the darkness. Okay, listen before the darkness. The more I know God, the better I get at hearing His voice, right? Amen. Moses' testimony, well, Moses knew God. I mean, he was already talking with God, and so he's good. He sees the darkness as thick. Oh, Israel, I'll be right back. God's in there. I'm going to go. And everyone, yeah, go ahead. But Moses knew God. In fact, if you look at Israel's testimony, the whole nation, look at verse 18, same chapter 20 of Exodus. Let's look at verse 18. It says, and all the people saw the thunderings, and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. They were terrified. They held back in fear. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Israel couldn't speak with God because they didn't know God. They couldn't speak with Him. And my friends, if we aren't in a speaking, listening relationship with God, when we enter the thick darkness of our lives and we lose the only thing that we have, our sight, okay, we're going to be in big, big trouble. So number four, if we don't know God before the darkness, we won't during the darkness. Okay, it's too late. The time to know God is now. When we're in the darkness, it doesn't matter. The reason why we need to know God, really, really know Him, is because when we are in the thick darkness, it doesn't matter at that time what we know. The only thing that matters is who we know. Okay? And I might know all the verses in the Bible about comfort, but unless I actually know, really, really know God, I won't get the comfort the verses talk about. I mean, we can recite all the verses, don't get me wrong, and these are good verses. And faith cometh by the word of God, absolutely. But unless we really, really know the person of God, all these truths are just verses. I want us to look at Paul's testimony here Just like Moses, of course, Moses knew God. Paul knows God. Okay, so let we see the same thing play out in his life. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Of course, Paul is writing to Timothy. But let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want us to observe this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The only thing that matters when we are in thick darkness is not what we know, it's who we know. And notice how the Word of God, how Paul says it here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go to verse 12. We sing the song out of this. It's a wonderful verse, verse 12. But notice what Paul says here, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He's okay being in the darkness because God's with him. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now, ashamed, the scriptural word ashamed is not just embarrassed. Okay, I would use it, oh, I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed, kind of an emotional thing. It's not just embarrassed. But the word ashamed here is it's not just an emotional response, it's a status, okay? And it kind of brings the context of being disgraced, being disfigured, to have fallen down, to be put down. And Paul has gone through so many hardships, but to him, his status, he's not down at all. He's good. So it's not just talking about I'm not... He's not just saying, I got thick skin, I got no shame. There's always, you know, nothing embarrasses me. He's not just talking about that. He's talking about he's not down. He truly is. His status is still elevated. Why? For I know, pay attention, not what. It's not about how many Bible trivia factoids he can spout out. It's who he knows. For I know whom. It's the person of Jesus Christ. And not just knowing him, head knowledge. He has an intimate relationship with God, just like Moses walks right into the darkness because that's where God is. It's okay. I'm in the darkness, but God is right there. He hears my voice. I hear his voice. We're good. Even though I can't see, don't need my sight anyway. I live by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. So he says, I know whom. It's the person, not what. And I have believed and am persuaded. That's fully convinced. Okay, there's no room for doubting. There's no shadow of doubt. That he, that's the Lord, is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The word committed, it's typically used in a banking term to deposit, okay? And so the idea is, of course, you know, you deposit your money in the bank, okay, it's safe there. And then you just let it grow, right? Don't withdraw it, okay? Just give it to the Lord. The more you give to the Lord, the more he is to you. If you give your all, he becomes your all. Amen. But the idea here is, if you think about it, say I've got a lot of, say I win the lottery, okay, the Powerball, okay, and I'm on the way to the bank, and if I get robbed going to the bank, big difference than if I get robbed coming from the bank. All I'm saying is, if I have some value on me, then I want to make a commitment, a deposit. If I go to the bank and I deposit everything I have in the bank, and then when I leave the bank, you know, I get jumped and the thugs say, give me all your money. I'm like, huh, I got nothing. I committed it all to the bank. If you want, you got to go there. Sorry, pal, I can't help you. But if they jump me on my way to the bank, like, uh-oh. Got it all right here. Okay, and so the idea is, Paul has that boldness. Paul has that courage because he's committed all to the Lord. It's all, God's got it all. He's got nothing to lose because he's given it all to the Lord. His life, God's got it. I'm just going, you know, and what a testimony. Because he knows the Lord. And to me, this wonderful verse 12 might just be a memory verse, a good memory verse. But to me, verse 12 is a memory verse. To Paul, it's his testimony. That's a whole other level. When we can change the verses, when they become alive to us, that we can claim it, not just Paul said he's not ashamed, but when I can quote it and mean it, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? It's the power of salvation, right? And when I can say that I've committed all to him and he's going to take care of me. The more I commit, the more he takes care. Amen. Praise the Lord because I've committed it to him. What a blessing. What a testimony. Paul suffered a lot. If you go to verse 8, same thing, that's his darkness time. Same chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed, that's that word again, of the testimony of our Lord. The Lord was exalted, even though he was crucified a common criminal. He died in spiritual victory. When everyone else looked at the Lord and, oh, I'm so embarrassed. Look at this guy. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Remember all the mockery that he cast at our Lord Jesus Christ? Yet when he died a victor. He died a victor over sin. Because he lived a sinless life, he died a victor over temptation. Satan tried to skew him. He could not skew him off the path. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And Jesus Christ said as he died, it is finished. Woo! He completed it. Ah, hallelujah. He couldn't say that if he had sinned or messed up, right? He didn't. So he died a glory. I mean, yes, I understand here. He died in as a curse on the cross. Yes, for us. But he accomplishes the purpose that he was sent. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul was literally in chains because he's serving the Lord. But be thou partaker of the afflictions. Jump right in. The darkness is great. Okay, I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying. Okay, it's okay. We're going to go through hard times, but if we know who the Lord is, and we know him personally, a living relationship with him, he hears our voice and we hear his voice. In the darkness when everyone else is standing afar back, Moses can go in there. Paul can go in there because that's where God is. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. What a challenge. What a testimony. Just to recap, God is always in the darkest times of our life. Yes, God is always in the darkness, no matter what anyone tells us, no matter how I might feel. The only way to find God in the darkness is to listen to his voice. And complete darkness, total darkness, thick darkness. At that point, if all I'm doing, if all I can do is live by sight, I'm going to be in big trouble. I have to live by faith. And the only way we can listen to God's voice is if we know God. And if we don't know God before the darkness, we won't during the darkness. Make that deposit. Commit it to God. All that we have. Before the time of darkness. So it's all, God takes care of it all. He's got it all. Which, by the way, in this context of the message, when we talk about God is in the darkness of our life, that's absolutely true. He's there. But don't mistake it as God not being in the darkness of death, okay? Because God is not in the darkness of death, okay? God is in the darkness of our life as a Christian. During our darkest trials, he's there. But when the scripture talks about cast him out into outer darkness, God is not there. That is the darkness of a lost person when they die. Okay, so don't confuse it too. That's the darkness of death, outer darkness. Jesus says the Lord will cast them out. There will be total separation from God. God is not in that darkness. Okay, the darkness, the outer darkness of death, God's not there. Okay, that's for lost people. But for saved people, okay, those who are saved, born again Christians, okay, God is in the darkness of our life. Okay, while we are living, the darkness that we encounter, He's right there. He's right there. And so may we give all to the glory of God. May we hear his voice, truly hear his voice, my friends, and live by faith so that when the darkness comes, we can navigate by his grace. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, we ask, Father, that you give comfort, Lord, to those who are hurting. We thank you, Father, you are the Father to the fatherless. And, Father, that you provide mercy and long-suffering to us. Thank you, Father, that you are there even during the thick darkness, the darkest of times. Help us to hear your voice. Help me, Lord, and help us to not live by sight, by what I see, but by faith in your word, what I hear. And so help me to, again, close my eyes and to open my ears to listen to you and to listen to your voice. And Father, we thank you for the comfort that we have in the scripture. And help us to be like Moses and Paul, not to be ashamed, but to have fully committed all to you against that day. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.